You've been involved with the World Social Forum. Could you explain a little bit about what that forum is and the purpose of it?
The World Social Forum actually started with the forum to oppose the World Economic Forum, which happens every 1 year. And it is the World Economic Forum is a closed door meeting of ministers, economic ministers and finance ministers and big multinationals and the World Banks and Britain Wood institutions, etc., to decide what the world economy should look like. So it's not open to social movements and to other social activists. So it used to happen in Davos. I think it still happens or not, I do not know. The forum was launched as a parallel in opposition to the World Economic Forum. This idea of World Social Forum began, but the political background of that has to be seen. You know, in those years when Thatcherism was very much dominant ideology, with its famous "There is no alternative," the TINA factor, which was told to us. And then, of course, other things came into, were thrown at us, like this is an end of history, like capitalism is there and you have to live with it, and this is the only system which can be improved upon, and that is it, that is the end of all the road. It was in response to that, that another world is possible. That's the slogan of the World Social Forum process. It started in Porto Alegre, a city in Brazil. The first forum was held in 2001, where we got a good amount of people, about 50,000 people who participated in that. Second year, again, it was held in Porto Alegre, and the number of participants rose to hundreds and thousands, a few hundred thousands. And 2003, again, it kept rising. By that time, I mean, this was the infamous war of George W. Bush had started post 9/11, in which he again tried to portray the world divided in two camps, one the civilized world and the other the barbarians. So they had to be civilized, they had to be the barbarians in the world had to be disciplined, and so therefore the attacks in Afghanistan and later in Iraq, etc., started. Now, Iraq and Afghanistan happened, and now what is happening is very clear. How the United States is doing everything to prevent democracies to happen in the Arab world, in North Africa included. Now, so this World Social Forum process, when it reached the third edition. In 2003, there was a talk that, well, this might be just a Brazilian phenomena or a South American phenomena. So the social movements who gathered around this, they decided to move it outside South America. And in 2004, the World Social Forum was held in Mumbai in India. Now, that again was a big success. Over 130,000 people participated in that, and in 2005 it went back to Brazil, in which again there were 150,000 people who participated in that. So every year this assembly of people happens. It is a concept is that of an open space. It is not open to political parties. It's only social movements, NGOs, and trade unions, and you know, women's organizations who adhere to the Charter of Principles of Porto Alegre, which is basically to work against the neoliberal economic policies of the imperialist world. And also, it tries to propose what should be done. It is not a body which is hierarchical. There is no president or secretary or vice president. There is an international council in which all members who again adhere to the principle of the charter of the WSF are becoming members. So there are, I think, nearly 100 organizations which are members of the International Council of the WSF, which again is an international council without any hierarchy. It decides in a unanimous way on the issues and the way it should be organized. It's an open space, meaning that wherever, whichever city hosts this forum, it does the main organizing part, but it is the IC's political responsibility to see that this forum happens. It's an open space in the sense that there are main part is the self-organized activities. Organizations say we want to do this issue is important for us. For example, both to Gaza people can say that they want to organize a workshop, a seminar on the importance of both to Gaza to break the blockade, illegal blockade there. Similarly, other activities on environment, on women's rights, on reproductive rights, etc., etc., are proposed, and those organizations, in collaboration with others, hold these conferences, seminars, or whatever. The other interesting part of this WSF process is there are two, in fact. Now, earlier it was every year one World WSF used to be held. Since 2007, now every 2 years it is held. So in between, there are many thematic forums and many national, regional forums. For example, South Asian Social Forum happened, Indian Social Forum happened, European Social Forum happened. And then thematic forums also happen in this gap year where there's no World Social Forum event. For example, last year we had in 2010, we had the World Education Forum in Palestine. That was back in October. And then there was, of course, the Maghrib Forum, which happened in Morocco a couple of years before that. So all these things keep happening nationally, locally, thematically. The other important aspect of this is that in addition to the self-organized activities, there are some main activities which are organized by the organizers of the forum. And to end that, there is what we call the convergence of people's assemblies. That is, all the organizations, let's say, who were doing activities on the question of Palestine, for example, which happened in 2011, Dakar, when the World Social Forum happened in Senegal. So there was a group, there were groups, organizations who were doing workshops and seminars on boat to Gaza, Freedom Flotilla to Gaza. There was another organization which was doing activities around Stop the Wall. There was another one which was working towards a world forum in solidarity with Palestine, etc. So this convergence of people's assemblies brought them together during the last days. And there it was calling for action. Like the WSF itself does not give a call to action. It's these people's assemblies which happen after. They say, okay, now we are calling the people and organizations all over the world to support such and such actions. It is mainly, as I said, an open space where people get to exchange their experiences and where now people strategize. Like what should we do next? I'll give you an example. Like in Dakar in 2011, in February 2011, during the World Social Forum, the convergence of people's assembly on the Palestinian issue, it was resolved that we will seek support from the international communities, all community and organizations, for the Freedom Flotilla, which is about to leave now in a couple of days for Gaza. So that support was built up, and you saw in Canada there was a huge, massive support from individuals and organizations. Over 200 Canadian organizations support that now, and they have collected over 350,000 people from direct pockets. We are not talking about taxpayer money here. We are not talking about grants. Individuals have paid this much money, so there is support. So that was the call for duty, if you want, which was launched in Dakar during the forum. Another one which was resolved, and we appealed to the world population, to organizations, that we should work towards holding a World Social Forum in solidarity with Palestine, a thematic forum in 2012 in Brazil, in Porto Alegre. So this again, now organizations are working to make that happen. Meetings are going on either through electronically, or even like we will have a committee here in Montreal in Canada to see what we can do to make that a success. Should we bring a delegation there, or should we hold activities at the same time, whatever format it takes?
So to move to the revolutions that have taken place in North Africa and the Middle East, do you feel that some of the organization or structural background to mobilize people may have come out of the World Social Forum?
It will be, I think, a bit difficult to see causality in these things. But there definitely are people who are active in the World Social Forum processes are also active in the uprisings. That is for sure. We know people there who are active in there on the ground in Tahrir Square in Egypt, or it be in Tunisia. People are active who have been part of the World Social Forum processes. But it's not limited to that. There are many factors around that, of course. There are trade unions around that who were involved. There were youth involved in that. I mean, that was a kind of an answer to the repressive regimes, which was a mix of unemployment, repression, all these measures which were put in place for decades in those countries. The direct correlation, it's not mathematical. It plays a role, but I wouldn't say it's a cause and effect thing.
What do you think the effects of the uprisings will be on the World Social Forum? Do the uprisings carry a lot of significance for the forum?
It definitely holds a lot of significance. I'll tell you during the month of February, when this World Social Forum was happening in Dakar, Senegal. Now Tunisia had already had thrown out its dictator, and while we were having our meetings in Dakar, the news came that Egyptians have also won and they have thrown out their dictator. So of course that whole mood of the World Social Forum changed, and it was energized, and it was then that the idea of how can this process support these positive changes in Northern Africa. And in May, there was International Council of the WSF met in Paris to decide where would be the next World Social Forum 2013. And guess what? It will be in Northern Africa, either in Tunisia or in Egypt.
Do you think that all the organizations that participated in the forum were able to use that energy from the uprisings to make an impact in their own communities?
Definitely it has. And it was very clear, as I said, in this IC meeting, the mood of all the organizations, it was very enthusiastically received, this decision of the IC to give priority to the next World Social Forum 2013 to Tunisia and Egypt, or let's say to the region called the Maghrib and the Mashriq. And we and others are also affected, like us in Alternatives. We have an annual what we call Alternatives Days. It's a retreat, it's a weekend retreat. This year it's happening in 19th, 20th and 21st of August. In that, the main theme the poster is right here. The main theme of that is the Arab Spring. And Arab Spring, not just in any atmosphere, Arab Spring in the background of neoliberal policies, and especially given the Harper government in power, and that brave little girl who stood up in the parliament to say stop Harper, and she announced that we should have a Canadian Spring and extra parliamentary activity should be started. We have in fact invited for that day, Alternatives Days, over the weekend of the 19th August, Tunisians who are participating and who had participated in the uprising in Tunisia. they will visit us here, they will speak to the audience, and the activists who will be there with us on those days. There'll be people from Egypt who are coming to address. There will be people from Morocco will be coming there to address the crowds, and there'll be Brigitte de Pape who will be there also to tell us about the what she has in mind as extra parliamentary activities and mobilization on the streets against the conservative policies.
Based on your work in Palestine, do you see the Arab Spring being significant for Palestine and for Palestinians?
There is a lot of hope to begin with. What I heard from my Palestinian friends when Mubarak was ousted, I mean, people in the streets were crying with joy in Palestine. So there was hope, like this regime of in Egypt, which was supporting the blockade of Gaza in association with Israel, and which was a client state of the United States of America, that fell. So the Palestinians, it was a big thing that this client state sitting next to us is with Israel and now it's gone. So that thing built a lot of positive energy within Palestinians. And I think they are moved towards the September resolution, which will be passed. I think so it will be passed, but it will be proposed in the UN General Assembly to recognize the state of Palestine with 1967 borders. I think that has also gained momentum. And I think this unity between the two factions in Palestine, Hamas and the Fatah party, I think this rapprochement, this coming together, is also a result of, I would say, even a direct result of this uprisings in the Arab world.
Do you think that some of the momentum and individual support that you were speaking about surrounding the Canadian boat to Gaza could have come as a response to the Arab Spring and possibly the demonstrations that have been held here in Montreal?
For definitely that helped. I think this whole mood has changed now with this thing happening in Tunisia, with the uprisings, revolutions in Tunisia and Egypt. And I think the support also comes from the negative stance taken by the conservative government. I mean, their minister calls it a provocative activity. I mean, it's completely nonsense what he says. And I think after this attack from this government, which is discouraging and which is saying it should not be done, I think the support even increased after that. We saw it because we see the money coming in for this in support, and it went up when these attacks on this initiative were being aimed. So yes, I think it is very much linked with what's happening in Tunisia, what's happening in Egypt and other parts of the world these days, in the Middle East. And so yes, I think there are links. I think there are some kind of even organic links in this. The mood has changed completely because of these happenings.
That was my last question. Is there anything you would like to add to finish up the interview?
Well, I would invite all your listeners to come and join us to celebrate and to reflect on this Arab Spring from 19th to 21st of August this year. It will be held outside Montreal in a very nice place called Camp Papillon, which is kind of a summer retreat place. It's a beautiful surroundings. And go visit our website at alternatives.ca and please get registered. Thank you.